What's up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome to another episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Today, we have a very special guest. He is the president of Paris Basketball, Mr. David Kahn. David, thank you for being a guest today with us.
Thank you for having me, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, you're originally from Portland, Oregon. You're a journalist and an attorney by trade. Did you ever think in your journey that you would be here today sitting in Paris, France as the president of Paris Basketball Club?
I don't know if I could be so presumptuous to say, oh, I expected this exact moment to happen. But early in my career in the NBA, I thought to myself how cool it would be, challenging and stimulating it would be to finish my career in Europe. I'm a Europhile. I think Europe is better than the state. It just is. And I think that what's occurring, without being political, and I don't want this to be read anyway politically, I think that the gap between Europe and America is growing, not decreasing.
Absolutely.
So I'm very happy to be in Europe doing this project here. And yeah, there have been times in my career where I've thought, you know, wow, it sure would be cool to see if I could finish my career over here.
But why Paris? Why did you choose Paris? I know there's, you know, a lot of cities, a lot of different places in the world. Was it specific to the project? Was it specific to the opportunity? Or was it specific to the city of Paris?
Well, I think that Paris gives us the opportunity to dream big. It's Paris. And when I started working on this project and studying and doing the due diligence to see if I could put it together, the timing seemed to be very fortuitous because Paris was bidding for the Olympics in 2024. Yeah. And when I went online, I saw that they had in their bid documents said that they had to build a mid-sized arena. And I've always felt that has been one of the things that have hurt Paris to develop a real world-class basketball club. The absence of a first-class basketball arena. And so my desire to do something in Europe combined with my complete and utter love of Paris, which I think is the world's greatest city, and the opportunity to have a team named Paris, no other team named Paris here, combined with the new arena, everything seemed to fall into place very serendipitously.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before, I mean, sometimes, you know, the opportunity just feels just right. And for you and, you know, along with your partners, you built this club from scratch. You know, the Paris Basketball Club is only, you know, 5 years and it's still kind of, you know, in its infancy compared to, you know, other clubs and other, you know, clubs that you got space on a regular basis in Europe. But it has grown to not only be one of the top premier clubs in French basketball, but also, you know, one of the, you know, perennial, you know, favorites in Euro Cup and, you know, one of the top, you know, leading clubs in basketball in Europe right now, one of the, you know, up and coming clubs of basketball. So what about has the journey surprised you guys, you know, you and your partners? You know, like you said before, you dreamed about, you know, coming to Europe and doing this. You know, has it been more challenging or has it been easier than you originally thought?
Well, no, it's been all the challenge that we anticipated. Nothing about this has been easy. And in terms of our you're right, we're 5 years old. We're our sixth season. But remember, Kyle, two of those years were severely impacted, if not ruined, by COVID. Our second season was canceled. Our third season, when we moved from Pro B to Pro A in the French League, even at the end of that year, we could only have 500 people in the arena under the French law. But when you do these projects, it requires an enormous amount of persistence and tenacity. Nothing comes easy. And there have been all kinds of twists and turns along the way. So by no means has this been easy. It's been extraordinarily challenging. But that's why it's been so, you know, enjoyable and stimulating and interesting. And, you know, it really has been for Eric Schwartz as my partner on this project, for the two of us, this has been, you know, sort of the dream of a lifetime. But, you know, dreams don't just happen like by accident. You know, in order to dream big, it just a lot of work. And so we and everybody here connected with Paris basketball going back to the people, we still have a few people who were here at the beginning. This has been a labor of love in every single way, and but with the strong word of labor, as in addition to love.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. I mean, trying to start something from the beginning, especially in a city that is so deeply rooted in culture. You know, Paris is considered, you know, one of the culture epicenters of the whole entire world. So you said before, you know, to have a club named Paris Basketball, and you guys didn't choose to have some other nickname or nickname it as from a neighborhood, you chose Paris Basketball. You know, how have you guys ingrained the culture, the Parisian culture, inside the club? You know, and how has the city of Paris, you know, kind of take on and kind of adopted the club or have that?
They have, and the name Paris Basketball was very purposely chosen. I remember sitting in our ad agency's offices and, you know, the idea of maybe calling it Paris Basket, because in French, basketball is basket. But that felt too French. We very much want to not only pay homage to the Parisian culture and its roots, but we want this to ultimately become an international club in its look and feel. The day may come, and you know, we dream again, I use the word dream loosely, but we dream of the day in, you know, 10, 15 years, you know, somebody is at a t-shirt shop in Tokyo or Buenos Aires, and they see a shirt that says Paris Basketball. They don't even know that Paris Basketball is a team. They just like the words Paris and basketball on that shirt. And so they're going to buy that shirt because of the combination of those two words. So we're very fortunate. We've got, I think, two strong words behind us. The city of Paris, which is an iconic word, and basketball now in today's culture is iconic in its own right. And the combination was very perfectly done. The city has rallied around the club. We just opened our new arena 3 weeks ago, and it was fabulous. We had a sold-out crowd. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this arena. It was 18 months late. But I really do feel that the proverbial wind is behind our back, and we have just great things ahead of us now.
And one of the things that I noticed, because we played a couple years back, we played a kind of a friendly basketball tournament there.
I remember.
Yes. And one of the things I noticed was like how you guys ingrain the, I want to say kind of like the urban and kind of youth culture, you know, into the club. You know, you guys had a DJ there. There was a lot of like, you know, kind of like the urban, kind of like Parisian, you know, kind of culture there. So like, you know, was that purposeful?
You're absolutely right. And everything we have done is very purposeful. And that includes the mistakes we've made along the way. By no means do I want to indicate that everything we've done has worked out well, but there is a real street culture for basketball in Grand Paris, as they call it. That's Greater Paris. If you walk through the streets of Paris, the number of NBA jerseys you see is astonishing. There's playground players at every playground. The city has a real energetic, high-energy vibe, and it feels very much, I've lived in New York for 5 years, and it feels a little New Yorkish in that respect in terms of how the New Yorkers sort of connect with the Knicks and now with Brooklyn with the Knicks. And so we did want to tap into that. And I'm glad even in your preseason game that you came here, that tournament, that you picked up on that. I do believe that if you come to our matches, you will see they're not your typical European basketball matches. They're more like a European basketball match than not, but there are certain things that we're doing. It's a little Parisian street culture, a little NBA culture, probably due to my background, a little, you know, it's a different kind of mix that I think anybody else is doing in basketball in Europe, and it fits very well for a Grand Paris.
Yeah, I think it made the game fun to play in, because it seemed like you guys had like a little bit of that NBA entertainment aspect. But then you also had, like you said before, the kind of mixture of like the European kind of culture, fanatic type of culture. It's kind of like a balance of both. And I think as a player, you know, I was only there for, you know, a short amount of time, but it made us excited. It made us, you know, feel good to play in that type of environment.
Well, it's really rewarding to hear you say that, because you don't always know what the players think. You know, when you have an opportunity to talk to them after the match if they're opposing players. But again, want to thank you. It's just very rewarding to hear that you picked up on.
Now, also, you know, you guys, congratulations. You guys recently won the Leader Cup, the French Cup, you know, a few weeks back. And you're currently, you know, one of the teams, you know, that is leading, you know, the Euro Cup. Were you surprised? You know, I know you had mentioned it in 2018, saying that, you know, you wanted the team to, you know, to be at this point. But are you surprised at the trajectory of the team and how fast that it has come? And now that you guys are in the position that you're in to, you know, to basically, you know, be, you know, in the top, you know, competition, you know, of Europe, you know, very soon.
Well, in 2018, we didn't know that COVID was going to happen for 2 years.
Yeah.
So there was no way to project out, you know, nobody could project a pandemic. I think the one thing about Europe, and I want to give a lot of credit right now to our head coach, Tuomo Sisalo, and his players, all of the players, that in Europe, you can kind of retool in one off season. We managed each year to get better, step by step. Every year has been better than the previous year on the court. This year, however, to your question, we've really taken a big leap. And that's due to the coach and the players. Tuomas coached last year in Bonn, and I think I have the numbers right as we speak today. I think he's in his last, you know, several, his last 2 years, his overall record is, I think, 89-15.
That's correct. Yeah.
89-15.
It's unheard of.
I think we're 34-8. And last year he was 54-7. Now, again, I could be, maybe I've got, I think I just did the math already, but the point I'm making is, I think we're very blessed to have one of the best young coaches in Europe, or frankly, in the game. And he brought six of his players with him, but it wasn't intended to be that way. We added them one by one, very methodically, but that combined with some additional French players that we've signed, players such as Nadir Hifi, we have managed to put together a heck of a season so far. And it's been very, you know, just very enjoyable to watch.
Now, you mentioned, you know, the coach and some of the players. You guys also have one of the most exciting players in all of Europe and Mr. Shorts there. You know, so what is it like, you know, for you, to watch him play and the excitement that he plays with? And for me, it's not so much just the style that he plays. I feel like the style he plays matches. We talked about like the Parisian street basketball culture, or just that culture. Like, he's like a perfect fit, like a perfect mix. So, you know, talk a little bit about him, and just talk about, like, you know, what he has meant, you know, to the club, and also what he's meant to the city of Paris.
So I agree with you. I think that DJ does, you know, sort of speak to that Parisian culture, but actually I think Nadir does more so. What TJ brings for us, I think he is an extraordinary leader, Kyle. He really is a great point guard / organizer. He's like an extension of the coach on the court, and that's what the coach has said to me, so I'm not speaking out of turn. I've never seen a point guard, with his ability for the last play of each quarter to make a shot or get a really good shot at the exact right moment so the other team can't run down and get their own. There are certain things that he has in his head, like that kind of clock in his head. He's just a great leader. And we wouldn't be where we are today without him. He is a significant part of our program.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorite players to watch. Like you said, the excitement. And then not only that, as you said before, his knack and his understanding and his IQ, you know, of the game, I think is next level. And I think he's definitely one of the, you know, more exciting, but also one of the more, you know, fun players to watch. Now, you talk about your current point guard, and I want to talk about one of the point guards that you had in the past. You know, Mr. Ricky Rubio, he's been, you know, in the news, you know, lately, you know, him, you know, making his full circle return back to Barcelona and back to the Spanish national team. Now, for you, you know, somebody that, you know, was part of his beginning of his career, you know, you drafted him, you brought him over to Minnesota, you know, so how do you feel, you know, about, you know, seeing him and seeing him return, you know, back to Europe? You know, what is that? What are those feelings kind of involved with you?
Well, I'm thrilled for him. I've been in communication with him through text messaging mostly through all of this. I just can't tell you how happy I am to see him. You know, I saw some of the clips from last weekend and the ovation he got from the crowd in Barcelona when they introduced him and he came on the court for the first time. Ricky is a little bit, you know, I was just saying this about TJ, is one of the most, I don't know if I've ever come across somebody more intelligent as a floor general than Ricky is, and yet can still do it in a way that is so crowd pleasing. You normally, when you think about a floor general, you think about somebody who plays kind of a slow, kind of, you know, methodical style. Ricky is everything but that. He plays with almost abandon. But I'm just so happy. I can't tell you how happy I am that he's back. And I think that if he wanted to go back to Barcelona, if that's where this journey were to take him, and if he's happy, and I assume he is, then of course I'm happy for him. We've remained close for the years.
Yeah, I'm happy as well. I mean, I think it makes, you know, European basketball a lot better to have, you know, somebody as talented as him and somebody that means as much to European basketball. And I think what he is going through, I think he is definitely an idol and definitely a role model for a lot of, you know, young basketball players. So I think I speak with the same as you. I'm excited. I'm happy that he's back in our competition here in Europe.
I agree.
You spend so much time in the NBA, and I feel like I'm almost, you know, required, you know, by law to ask you, to you, what are the biggest differences between the NBA and European basketball?
Oh boy, you asked a loaded question. Wow.
I feel like I'm required. I feel like this is a requirement of the interview.
So I need to say this. I need to see this so carefully. Uh-huh. The NBA regular season is not nearly as competitive and as intense as it once was.
Yeah.
The NBA playoff season is.
Yes.
In fact, the difference between the regular season and the postseason has grown enormously.
Yeah.
That preseason tournament that you referenced earlier in this discussion where Milano played in Paris. Kyle, in those games, those two games, each of those 2 days, the players being in that preseason game were playing harder than in an NBA regular season game.
Is it?
Totally serious.
Is it?
And I've known in going back to the States, you know, and seeing games here and there, it's just not as the same, I'll use that word, intensity doesn't exist any longer in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that has happened, and again, I need to say this very carefully, but the amount of money in the NBA system, I believe, is not, it's not helpful for the overall health of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting for a second that the players aren't deserving of it or that things have to change. And I'm just making an observation.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it's healthy to have that much money in the system. It has created environments where players, understandably, have the ability to kind of force their way off of teams before their contracts expire. There's always been a, you know, through history, there's always been a pendulum in terms of who has more control, owners or players. I believe that as we are sitting here today, that pendulum has never swung more to the side of the players than ever before.
Absolutely.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing can be debated, and I don't want to engage in that debate today, but I'm using this observationally, and I think the recent All-Star Game was another indicator.
Uh-huh.
I happened to turn on, I was interested that next week, I watched the first quarter of a couple of All-Star Games that I covered as a journalist in like 86 and 80.
Uh-huh.
Because I had these memories of the games being really competitive. My memories were a little over-exaggerated. The games were competitive, but not nearly as intense as I thought they'd be. But nonetheless, Kyle, if you watch those games compared to this All-Star Game, they're incomparable.
Yeah, it's night and day.
So there are huge differences right now between the NBA and Europe. I really respect the passion and intensity and effort that is being exhibited here in Europe from top down, but especially amongst the players, who really, you feel there's that layer of pride and, you know, commitment that I think really doesn't exist on a night-to-night basis any longer in the NBA. And I would defy anybody to challenge that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't want to have this come across as if, you know, I'm being overly critical.
No.
I think that there are a lot of reasons for the way things are today. And it, yeah, I'll leave it to the NBA to figure out if and when they want to address them.
No, I think with your experience, you know, on both continents, I think you're deservingly so, and to speak your opinion. And I think you have, you know, a clearer observation than many of us. So, I mean, I definitely respect it. And I love to hear that observation.
But let me just interject, Kyle. It wasn't even when I was for the Pacers. I worked for the Indiana Pacers for 9 years. It wasn't like that back then. In other words, the way the league is today is different than it was in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I worked for the Timberwolves, I could feel the changes coming, but they hadn't come all at once yet, or hadn't accumulated yet.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed. There's just no question about it. And yet in Europe, I feel that things are very much stable and very consistent year to year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree about that. Now, two more questions before I let you go. I mean, the last question is kind of like, you know, kind of similar in both. But right now, French basketball is pretty much, you know, at the forefront of global basketball in the world. Whether or not you talk about, you know, Wembanyama, you know, the Paris Olympics coming up. There's potentially, you know, 4 first round draft picks that, you know, that are coming from France or you know, in this upcoming year's draft. You know, you have the success of the French national team in previous European competitions. You have, you know, so many NBA superstars that are French. Every EuroLeague team and majority of the Euro Cup teams have a French player that is, you know, talented or the forefront. So for you, you know, where do you see the future of French basketball, and where do you see, and in that, where do you see the future of Paris Basketball Club as well?
So on the first point, you know, the French basketball right now is like a running faucet.
Yeah.
Nobody's turning it off.
Yes.
It's going to keep running. And that's a great thing for everybody here in France, because I think there is a correlation between interest in basketball and how the French national team does in Olympic and international competition, and how certain players overseas play in the NBA. I think Wembanyama clearly, you know, could be, I'm not going to quote who told me this, but he was a very high up person at the league, felt that in a year or so, he'd be one of the 3 or 4 most recognizable people on the planet.
Absolutely.
And so there, I wouldn't say that this is a golden age, because that suggests there's an age. I think that this will happen, because with success comes success.
Mm-hmm.
Success breeds. And as a result, I just don't see any stop. I think that the future is really bright for French basketball. And this was a small part of our theory when we decided to put the team here or start the team here, is that we felt there was a culture of basketball here. What hadn't happened yet is the culture of basketball was here, and the economics were, and I'll drop my hand below the screen now, this huge, you know, vacuum between. But logically, as long as the French players continue to be produced and developed, it'll bode well for Paris basketball, no matter how it played out. Be good for us.
Definitely will. Thank you for taking the time. I mean, I'm a basketball nerd, I'm a basketball junkie, so I can talk to you for another 3 hours about, you know, all the stuff and all your experiences and all the things that you've been through. But I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and having this conversation with me. You know, I really think the fans of EuroLeague and EuroCup will really enjoy this conversation and get to know, you know, the Paris Basketball Club even more now after today.
I love having these conversations, and that 3-hour call you want to have, we can do that whenever you want. It
definitely
would be my delight. It really would be.
Thank you, Kyle. For sure. Definitely. Thank you. EuroLeague fans, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of A Quarter with Kyle Hines. Keep watching, and we'll talk to you very soon. Take care.